Good evening.
Good evening.
And may endless blessings find you on this day of the full moon, 15th day of the water snake. It's been much on my mind today, and the moon catches me anyway, all the time. And for some reason, I was looking forward to this one today a lot. And so, when I drove here the first time, there was that hope of, okay, the sun's down, I'll be coming and get to catch a glimpse of the full moon before I get here. And it didn't happen. So when I arrived and had forgotten the recorder, I figured something's conspiring to give me that opportunity. So I was able to go back and get the recorder and had time to take a slight detour to the west and be able to drive up over Uinta, that hill, and found her right there sitting on the road. Mm-hmm. It was perfect, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, great. It also reminded me of years ago when Wendy and I lived further on the west side, the beginning years of my practice, and Saturday mornings would gather over the Susan B. Anthony Annex for our meditations. And I'd make the other journey in the morning, and sometimes when it's later in the year, drive that same hill over Uinta, and Pike's Peak is framed between it, and it looks just so huge, and it would be pink later in the year, but every time, didn't matter if it was summer, winter, autumn, spring, loved that, to be caught by it. So it was nice to have the two memories, well, one memory and one now memory, both experienced there in the same instance. So tonight I'm going to continue what inadvertently became a series of talks over the past several months when I here and then traveling down to Pueblo. November, December time, started talking about something that I would get to the end of the talk, and then in the moments after, sometimes on the cushion sitting afterward when the announcements were being made, other times driving home, there was more speaking to me, saying there's more here that wants to be said, more talk that wants to be exposed, perhaps. So I gave a second talk, continuing the theme, and when I wrapped it up, it happened again. And so here we are in this third talk that, who knows if it's the final talk or not. It's kind of nice to be in that space of listening to what wants to be said. And it reminded me of like circling around, trying to get to the center. Then when I get to the center, I just find there's more circles, and it's still vast and open, and keep circling and keep circling. And it's nice not to be in a rush to try to get to anything. And I'm enjoying this opportunity to circle some more. So really, what's been, it's the our timeless investigation of this emptiness. What is this emptiness that is spoken of in the tradition, and how can we understand it, or how is it now? How is it now? Different instances of it. And this time, in looking at it, I found the Tao Te Ching coming forward to help in looking at it from different angles, in ways that for me were sometimes misunderstandings or incomplete understanding of what it might be in looking at this particular book, which I've talked about being my gateway book, the gateway teaching to this practice, this life that I'm currently living. So it's been nice to revisit that from my own journey and seeing how things have changed for me and have grown over time, and hopefully you'll find something, some seeds here or something opening up for you as well. So I wanted to start with one of these, one of the verses from the Tao Te Ching that's a pretty popular one. It's popular enough to be on the back of the book. So that's pretty good, you know. And this is Red Pine, which is also great. He's, you know, he's been gone for several weeks, but he's still here with us, and it's great to have him as a companion and still coming and informing us and helping me out, as he has done for years with his translations, and that's another story. But this is chapter 11 from the Tao Te Ching. 30 spokes converge on a hub, but it's the emptiness that makes a wheel work. Pots are fashioned from clay, but it's the hollow that makes a pot work. Windows and doors are carved for a house, but it's the spaces that make a house work. Existence makes a thing useful. Non-existence makes it work. So when I read that, the images of those objects that he mentions comes up. And the hollow of a cup, the space in between when you open the door, open the windows, as being an empty space is what initially comes up for me. And I think that's where there's an incomplete understanding on my part when I first look at that. And I can get the idea that it's about being empty, having nothing there, and that's all that it is about. And I think if we stop there, we miss out on something more than that. If we, you know, try to fashion ourselves to be those vessels and containers that hold emptiness, you know, the project can become trying to perfect the vessel, perfect the container to hold that empty space. And we don't maybe put as much attention into, well, what is this empty space? And that's what I want to explore a little bit in looking at the actual Chinese characters that were used in this verse. And that stems back to something that it was in November down in Santa Fe, Joan Sutherland gave the Koan Ancestors Retreat. And what that was about was looking at the Chinese characters, the ancestors of the Koans, the words, the images, the pictographs that made up the words of the Koans, because that's how we enter into them, by reading the words. And in that retreat, some of you may have gotten this talk over the Awakened Life's distribution when she talked about characters. And she took the modern character and then showed its ancestor, where it was, you know, as a cave drawing, or how it morphed over time into this current character. And so I brought just one of those tonight, and that's this one. This is the word emptiness, or no, or non, without. It's the wu or mu, or no of, does a dog have Buddha nature? This is that character. And it's also what's used here in the Tao Te Ching when he says, it's the emptiness that makes it useful. So, pretty important character. And I'm going to set it up here for now. Well, for the duration. So what's interesting is that this concept of shunyata, emptiness, comes from Buddhism into China, and they have their system of writing already going and developing. And so when they're trying to translate, what character do you want to use to express that concept, that idea, that thing, they use this one. And although it's translated to be emptiness, it actually existed prior to this character as this. which is an image of a woman dancing while holding foxtails. Now, that doesn't seem like there's nothing there. That seems something much more than just an empty space or an existence of nothing. It's something vast and mysterious, the vastness, we may say. So here's this word that means emptiness, and the Chinese chose that character that developed from this mysterious, beautiful... I love that image of that woman holding the foxtails and just picturing her dancing all the time. All the time she's dancing. So that's the character they use to express this emptiness. And then Joan just added, which I think is delightful too, that this is the character for dance, like to dance. And if you notice it, it looks like emptiness with feet at the bottom. You can see the top of emptiness there. It's got little feet, so that's a beautiful way to describe dancing as well. So when I look at this verse, and the thing I enjoy about Red Pine's translation is that he includes the Chinese characters of the verse next to it. So if you want, you can actually look and see what's actually being said here. And every time when it says, it starts out, 30 spokes converge on a hub, but it's the emptiness that makes it real work. So that little phrase, but it's the emptiness, is also, in the Chinese characters, is the exact same characters each time when it says, but it's the hollow, but it's the spaces. So the literal translation isn't hollow and spaces. Every time it's saying, in the cup, it's the emptiness that makes it work. In the house, it's the space. I mean, it's the emptiness that makes it work. So I think it's common in the translation that it always mentions the hollow of a cup or the space of a house. What the translators are doing, I believe, is they're expressing that place within the particular object that allows emptiness to exist, allows a place for that, this emptiness that is beyond what we can conceive. In a house, it's expressed as open space. In a cup, it's expressed as a hollow. And I think our endeavor is, as human beings, to be curious, what's that place in us? You know, what is the emptiness? What's that place within us that we can cultivate or develop that will allow the emptiness to be there, to function? So we each have our own, but it's the emptiness that, you know. So as humans in general, that's the question, but also each of us individually, our question. What is that place in me? What is it that I can do to create or reveal that space for the emptiness to be functioning in? So I'm going to return to the idea of cultivation or maintaining, discovering that in a little bit here. But the next thing I wanted to look at also from the Tao Te Ching is the concept of wu wei, non-action, or the characters are actually this character and the character for action, so it means empty action or emptiness action. And you know, on the surface, again, it can look like non-action, don't do anything. But again, if you return to the characters, you see that it actually means emptiness action, the action of emptiness. That's far more than doing nothing. And it's expressed in many different ways in Taoist literature, in the Tao Te Ching itself. I wanted to bring a couple of those in here to share. This is from chapter 43. It says, the weakest thing in the world overcomes the strongest thing in the world. What doesn't exist finds room where there's none. Thus we know help comes with no effort. Wordless instruction. Effortless help. Few in the world can match this. So the expression of it in this verse is no effort or effortlessness, or effortless. When he says, help comes with no effort, effortless help. And in that character, or in that verse, it's this character again, with action, wu wei. So instead of really saying, thus we know help comes with no effort, it says, thus we know help comes with wu wei, with emptiness action. Or effortless help, I also looked up the character that they use for help, which is also benefit. So, thus we know benefit comes with wu wei, with emptiness action. Wu wei benefit, few in the world can match this. So, it's interesting that the translators had to pick a word and try to express this. And you can go online, actually, and if you put in Chinese dictionary draw in Google, you can go to dictionaries where you can use your mouse or touchpad to draw a character, and it'll tell you what it is. And sometimes you can get the stroke orders in the right order, and that helps. If you don't get it in the right order, it'll throw out a few that you can guess at. It's guessing, is this it, is this it? And you can find it. So if you're interested with a book like this and want to know what are really the words here, that's a tool that I've discovered that I enjoy. So there's no effort. That's one way of expressing wu wei, emptiness action. And again, it's not about not making any effort. It's about the effort of the emptiness, emptiness action. So I'll read through this again, because also it says in the character wu, emptiness below, is also in what doesn't exist finds room where there's none. It might be emptiness existence finds place there. So I'll just read this verse again and see if you can hear it differently with this no effort being not a letting go of something and doing nothing, but a letting go of having to do something yourself and opening up to something larger taking place. The weakest thing in the world overcomes the strongest thing in the world. What doesn't exist finds room where there's none. Thus we know help comes with no effort. Wordless instruction, effortless help. Few in the world can match this. All right, and a few verses later in chapter 48, we find wu wei, again the character's empty action, to mean doing nothing. Which is, again, a different flavor of no effort. But it's, again, it's the same phrase, wu wei, again and again, throughout. Just saying it when it's like this, it sounds like this. When it's like this, it sounds like this. But essentially, it's that same empty action, emptiness action. Those who seek learning gain every day. Those who seek the way lose every day. They lose and they lose until they find nothing to do. Nothing to do means nothing not done. Those who rule the world aren't busy. Those who are busy can't rule the world. So the phrase that caught me here is that until they find nothing to do. And when you look at the characters broken down there, what they say is until they find wu wei. Until they find that space, that place of empty action, emptiness action. So that, and then right after that verse it says, wu wei means nothing isn't done. So I'll read it again. I'm going to insert the wu wei part in there because I think it really, for me, like I said, it opens it up. Those who seek learning gain every day. Those who seek the way lose every day. They lose and they lose until they find wu wei, emptiness action. Wu Wei means nothing not done. Those who rule the world aren't busy. Those who are busy can't rule the world. I think this character for dance also finds its way into Wu Wei. It seems like a dance, a collaborative dance with everything. And then before I return to that, talking about the cultivating or how we develop, how we might endeavor to connect with that Wu Wei and create the space for it, just wanted to... three lines from the beginning of chapter 63 that also contain the character for emptiness, that in this case they use the translation without. So, act without acting, work without working, understand without understanding. That's a translation that we receive. When you look at the Chinese characters, what you have is act, empty action. Work, empty working. Understand, empty understanding. And that, to me, flips it around completely. When it says act without acting, it sounds like something I need to do, something I need to repress without acting. But when it says act empty action, or emptiness action, I'm not trying to hold anything back, really. It's that, maybe that step of getting out of the way that I find. So it's been great to, like I said, have the Chinese characters to look at and hold up against the English, and then delve into my little online dictionary and see what more I can discover. So as far as, you know, the question comes up, how do we do this? How do we create that space? How do we practice emptiness action? You know, how do we do something that's emptiness? Can we do it ourselves? I don't think so. But fortunately, I think our entire practice is about that endeavor of allowing ourselves to connect with Wu Wei, with emptiness action, the action of the vastness, the function of the vastness. And it starts really at the beginning of the talk about that trying to empty out something within us to allow there to be a space for something, for the emptiness there. And it's kind of tricky because we can't actually do it. You can't go and pick and choose, I'm going to empty this stuff out. And that be it completely. I mean, that is the action of the self. And this is not casting the self in a bad light, like, oh, that bad self. But it's the function of the self wants to try to own the empty space, so to speak. It wants to do what it can to cultivate it. And if it takes complete ownership of it, that's when it becomes a stopping point and we just go around trying to be empty and there's not actually the flow in as easily of the emptiness and the vastness. When it's only a project of the self. As we say, that the self has its function. It gets us around through our daily lives. It helps pay the bills. It does what we need it to do. But it likes to overstep its bounds sometimes and wants to run the show. So we don't need to cut it off completely. We need to allow it its opportunity to function and help us. But also to have a larger space in which we're holding that understanding of the self so that it too can, as it says in the Tao Te Ching, when its work is done, step back. So if we make becoming empty, creating space, our only project, then we're stopping short. And we're limiting the field, we're limiting the possibilities and the potential. As I said earlier, because that project can lend us to be favoring the container, actually. Look how nice of a container I've developed here, and how spacey it is inside, you know. And then we have that. So I'm calling that one side of the approach being the vessel view. Develop the vessel. But in addition to that, we have the unvesseling view, the action that takes place. And as I see that, there's two major ways I see that happening in our practice, in our lives, as we practice, is one being the walls of the container become more porous. They're still there, they're still in a shape that we can recognize, but they're not as firm, they're not holding things out and keeping things in so much. They're becoming porous, so the flow begins to happen. There's an exchange going on with what's so-called outside, what's so-called inside, a little more easily. And it's not a linear, look how porous I'm getting. There could be moments where we open up and we just can feel it, and other moments where it feels we're more solid. And so it's a fluctuating, a constant, living thing, developing that porousness of the container, of the self, which, in a way, it's like streamlining the self to what is the pure function that it serves, the basic function that it serves here. And there's like an agreement that it will be completely happy serving its basic function and allow space between it for things to flow. And then the other thing that I see, I believe we experience at any point along our practice, is the complete unvesseling of ourselves when there is no container, things are gone, and there is no more separation. And it reminded me of Red Pine talking about the Heart Sutra when he said the Bodhisattva lives without walls of the mind. Mm-hmm. That place where the walls of the container, or the walls of our divisions that we've set up about things, gone and completely uncontained, completely present. And that can find us in large moments and in small moments. I was about a month ago was reminded of that, or experienced that in a way that It was nice. As has often been the case, I find that practice for me is elucidated in traffic situations. And there's, on the way to our house, heading up Limit towards Colorado, but turning on Cucharas, there's kind of that little street there where it's a blind corner if you're coming around. I'm driving this way, you're coming this way, there's a blind corner, so the person here doesn't really know if there's traffic or not, and sometimes they pull out a little bit too far. And I notice that when they do that, I like to be, you know, how could you dare do that, that kind of thing. Just a little bitty thought process. It's not really a thought, it's not really words, it's just an attitude that pops up in me. And it reminded me of back in psychology class in college. They talked about this, I forget the official term for it, but this happening that if someone else makes a mistake, a small mistake like that, we assign that they're doing it on purpose and that there's something wrong with them. But when we make the same mistake, we're like, oh, it was an accident. Nothing to do with me. I didn't do it on purpose. So this phenomenon that we do that, and that's what I was doing in that moment of, oh, that person pulled out too far, and my tendency is to drive up and make it really noticeable. Look how sharp I'm having to turn to get around you. you know? And sometimes we'll try to make the eye contact, like, not a mad one, but like, come on, guy, what are you thinking? And so I was in that place of getting ready to make that turn. And I had my window down a little bit, and the other person had his window down. And I did the little look, and I was turning. And as I passed him, he said, sorry. My containering, new word, of that situation, containing him, containing me, separating, completely evaporated when he said, sorry. And I realized, oh, look what I was doing. Look what I was holding back by doing that. And so that was, I don't know if that was a, it seems like a small happening, but it was also quite a nice, large happening at the same time. So in our practice of meditation, by sitting and observing and noticing, it is along the lines of that project, that cultivation of emptying things out. But in contrast, like I said earlier, it's not that you're actually going in there and picking the things to empty out, because we've tried that. We try to say, I don't want to have this anymore, and that doesn't seem to work. But maybe at the other end of it, we exhaust them. We allow those things that have been obstacles, or that are obstacles, or new obstacles arise, and we give them the space to act, and tire themselves out, exhaust themselves, so that they are exhausted, empty. And we hold that container for that activity in our meditation. And then we have, like I said, that container around them that can be porous, more solid at times, and then other times, completely gone. I guess it doesn't have to be it can be a slow chisel until one day we realize, oh, there's no more threshold here, there's no more gap. So then the question of how do you cultivate the Wu Wei? And you don't. You can't. It's emptiness action. You cannot cultivate it. But simply by doing the other work, doing the meditation, allowing the exhausting of ourselves and our activities, allows for the Wu Wei, the emptiness action, to have a place and more of a place to function and exist as our practice goes by, or as a minute passes and then it gets small again. You know. And the reason that we can't cultivate it, because it's not a solo project, this Wu Wei, emptiness action, it's not something that we can do alone. It requires other people in traffic. It requires a world around us. It requires the conspiracy of everything to have it function, to allow it to function and to be part of its functioning, to keep it alive and flowing. And we can try to have an idea of what it looks like, this Wu Wei emptiness action, but if we have an idea of what it looks like, then that can't possibly be it. Because then we're in that place of, was that it or not? It's a measuring stick. Was it? So we have to exhaust our ideas of how things need to be, how they will look when things are all in place and when Wu Wei, empty action, is functioning. So exhaust the ideas, let them drop away and look directly and notice, here it is. And in that here it is, it's not a grabbing onto, it's just the moon sitting on Uinta. So this leads me back to thinking about where this unintended series of talks began, which some of you who were here may remember. It was that exchange between, this is what Joan had talked about, which was talked about by Japanese philosopher Nishida, about the surface self and the free self. The surface self being that self that gets jobs done, does things in the world, that has developed and grown and perhaps sometimes become too big. Then we come to meditation, we drop into that place where the dismantling happens, into the vastness, and the self kind of crumbles, that's the free self, as he described it and Joan put it forth. It's the self that doesn't get anything done. It informs the actions of the surface self, which has to be reconstructed, has to rise back to the surface and live a life. But it's informed by that experience of having been dismantled and forgotten itself, forgotten who it was. And that exchange goes on all the time, the rebuilding and dismantling. And it's not just a one-way communication. It's not just that the surface self needs to hear from the free self or the vastness. It's the vastness needs to know the workings of the surface self. And that's how they go along together, informing one another. And that's the dance, the emptiness dance. So maybe that will be the end, since we came back to the beginning. Maybe that's the end of the series, because it just goes in a circle now.